The afternoon stretch. No Bruno Reagan, but Devlin McKenzie, Zach Williams here with you inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. And always a good time to talk to a former co-host, fill-in co-host, but still he's an alumni of this very station because of that. And our good friend as well of the show, Jordan DeJani. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jordan DeJani. Covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Jordan, how you doing, man?
Zach, my man, what is going on? Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. Excited to talk to football with you, my man.
Absolutely. Monday night football tonight, but let's get into all of the football that happened on this past Sunday, as it was a crazy, I mean, it was a bit of a crazy week, really. We were joking about it on here. My producer, Devlin, big Ohio guy, loves Cleveland, and I was telling a story that I had just already written in my head. I don't know if it was like the Mandela effect or whatever it is, but I had already thought the Buccaneers had beat the Browns and was tallying up games. And then I see him and my jaw at the floor. The Browns beat the Buccaneers?
Yeah, Sunday was crazy, man. Sunday was the first time in NFL history that four teams won after trailing by seven or more points in the final 2 minutes of regulation. You brought up the Browns coming back to beat the Buccaneers. The Jaguars came back to beat the Ravens. The Chargers came back to beat the Cardinals. And the Raiders came back to beat the Seahawks in overtime as well. It was a crazy day. And, you know, the Buccaneers, I think that we all could probably agree that they look like the best team in their division. But that doesn't mean that they can be legitimate contenders or they look like world beaters on offense. When I saw that spread at 3.5, I went ahead and took Cleveland because I thought something could be a little weird. Up there in Cleveland, they had some weather issues pregame as well, and sure enough, that came through. David Njoku made what was probably the second best catch of the 2022 NFL season, that one-handed game tying touchdown reception to send the game to the fifth quarter. Pretty entertaining affair in Cleveland.
I want to go around some of these games. We're not going to talk about all of them, not a lot of time to, but there's some that I want to get into. Let's start off Panthers-Broncos. Sam Darnold comes out 11-19, 164 yards and one passing touchdown, has the one scrambling touchdown against a really good Denver Broncos unit. I've been on this world that I felt like Sam Darnold's going to have a comeback season, and it feels like it's starting against one of the best defenses against the Broncos. Made him look bad out there and looked like a real good quarterback for a bad team, but helped the team look good.
Yeah, I remember you being somewhat of a Sam Darnold fan when I was back there co-hosting with you, and it sounds like you were kind of right about that in the sense of that he's probably the best quarterback on roster. That surprised me a little bit because I thought Baker Mayfield could bring some juice into this new situation. Obviously, that did not happen. It shouldn't be a surprise that Sam Darnold is getting some starts down the stretch here. That was always the Panthers' plan. They want to see if he can bring something to this team, if he could potentially be an option in 2023, and he had a great outing. I mean, this Broncos team obviously is on a downward spiral. They usually have a great defense. That defense did not show up in Charlotte on Sunday, giving up 23 points. I think the thing that really stood out to me was the play of cornerback Patrick Surtain, who's been one of the best young cornerbacks in the NFL, but he's gotten worked over the past 2 weeks, and Sam Darnold and DJ Moore really took advantage of him. So that was another game that I was blessed, I guess you should say, to get correct. I took the Panthers, or took the points with the Panthers at +2.5. I knew something weird was going to happen with that. It just seems like this Denver team's on a downward spiral.
The Raiders and Seahawks, that game, to me, before it started, was the Who Cares Bowl, and then it ended up being the best game of the weekend. 40-34 win. Josh Jacobs, I mean, if this guy could play like every season was a contract season, he'd probably be the best running back in the NFL in all the history of the NFL.
Yeah, low-key, I think Josh Jacobs and his play has been one of the more underrated storylines of this regular season. 229 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. He was an absolute monster. And I'll say this, you know, as soon as the Raiders lost that game, I forget who it was against a couple weeks ago, but when Derek Carr took the stand crying, I thought that maybe this could be a turning point for this Raiders team. You know, they had some pieces on offense, and that's really shown itself over the past couple of weeks. I thought they had a great performance against a Seahawks defense that seems to be flailing down the stretch. I don't know if they're going to be able to end the regular season as the best team in the NFC West, But, man, Josh Jacobs certainly putting his name out there for a contract extension this offseason. He's playing great ball. I think he set a couple of franchise records with what he was able to do in Seattle yesterday afternoon.
How big is his contract next year?
Well, he's a running back, so I'm going to hypothesize not that big.
Talking with Jordan Tijani. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Tijani. Covers the NFL for CBS Sports. All right, now let's look at last night's Sunday night football game, Packers-Eagles. Not really nobody was shocked about the outcome, but really the one part that I want to talk about is Aaron Rodgers getting injured in that game, which apparently he's been injured since week five anyway. And Jordan Love coming in, basically cool as a cucumber, looks good, drives down, gets a touchdown on his first drive. How many games could this Green Bay Packers team have won had they put Jordan Love in earlier?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to go that far. I think that Aaron Rodgers has definitely had some up-and-down performances. You go back to what happened in Detroit earlier this year, and obviously he was at fault for that loss. I think he had three red zone turnovers. At the same time, I think that he's made some great throws all year, and it really hasn't necessarily been his fault. They've dealt with a lot of injuries on the offensive line, inconsistent wide receiving core. So I don't want to go as far as to say the Packers would be in a better spot if Jordan Love was starting all year. At the same time, I think what transpired last night was pretty amazing. You have to be feeling a little bit juiced if you're a Packers fan. And I'll say this. I think that the Packers should probably shut down Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the year because Jordan Love's not a rookie anymore. This is a guy you have to make a decision on when it comes to his contract. We got to see his prospects as the potential franchise signal caller of the future. We want to see more of what this kid is capable of, and Green Bay is just about out of the playoff race as well. But I will say, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a say in that situation. He seems like he's a competitor. He seems like a guy who is going to want to finish out the year, even though he's dealing with multiple injuries. So that's going to be a pretty interesting scenario that we're going to keep an eye on moving forward.
Now let's talk about the team here in the old backyard, Tennessee Titans falling to the Cincinnati Bengals 20-16. Is it a case that, and this is what I was seeing on Titans Twitter, which is a cesspool, as you know, is it a case that Mike Vrabel just can't find a way to beat the Bengals, or is this a case that the Titans can't win against the upper echelon in the AFC?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably the latter, but I will say this. There wasn't one thing that led to the Titans' downfall on Sunday. I mean, they went 0-for-3 in the red zone, and, you know, they came into this week, I think, second in the NFL in red zone touchdown percentage, so that was a little surprising. Derrick Henry rushed for just 38 yards on 17 carries. Todd Downing's play calling didn't exactly inspire fans. Kevin Strong had that boneheaded penalty, which took away the possibility of a game-tying drive late in the fourth quarter. I mean, Joe Burrow was 8-for-12 and averaged 7.6 yards per attempt on third down. It really seemed like that offense started humming in the final two quarters of the game. And, of course, T. Higgins, the Tennessee native out of Knoxville, he just straight-up big-boyed Tennessee secondary against multiple defensive backs, whether that was Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary. You know, the Titans secondary is something that's a bit concerning because if that pass defense, if that pass rush cannot get home in 4, 5, 6 seconds, whatever it may be, and you give quarterbacks time to throw the ball, you know, he's going to be able to throw up those 50-50 balls to those bigger star wideouts, which, as we know, those upper echelon teams in the AFC definitely possess. So that was kind of what rubbed me the wrong way from the Titans outing. But it just seemed like multiple things went wrong for this team. I thought they carried momentum into the second half, but at the same time, that's when the Bengals' offense really stood up. I think their final three drives all resulted in points. That's the reason why they won the game.
Talking with Jordan Tijani, covers the NFL on CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Tijani. Monday Night Football tonight, Steelers-Colts. Jordan, what do you like in this one? I know you sent me a little text earlier about what you're putting some money in. We talked about it in our last segment, but what are you thinking tonight?
How could you not be juiced for this AFC matchup on Monday night? I mean, the Steelers are coming off of their best offensive performance of the year against the reigning AFC champions in the Cincinnati Bengals. They scored a season-high 30 points. The pieces are there. Very interested to see if Kenny Pickett and George Pickens can get that first road victory of the young signal caller's career. On the other hand, we have the Jeff Saturday-led Colts, right? This experiment's been fascinating to watch. He's 2-0 against the spread. But hold up, at home on Monday night, this is the first time that Jeff Saturday's been favored in a matchup as a head coach. Is Vegas correct in its assumption, or are we going to make some money at plus money on the Pittsburgh Steelers money line? I'm excited for this one just because I think Kenny Pickett's kind of an intriguing young quarterback. He's had some flashes. He's had some poor performances as well. But we know that the Steelers team is capable of some second half of the season runs. And I think that could potentially begin tonight in Indianapolis. Very interested in this matchup.
Jordan, always a pleasure having you on, my brother. Best friend of the show. We've always said that for a long time. I got to get you on more often, my man.
Absolutely, Zach. Appreciate you, my man.
Jordan DeJani, follow him on Twitter. Always good stuff. We don't have enough time. We need a 3-hour show just to have Jordan on for longer.